Throughout John's Gospel, we have this recurrent theme from Jesus. He says, "My hour has not yet come." He refers to this, to his time not yet having arrived, to the hour that is coming, five times throughout the first half of John's Gospel. We hear today, as we approach the end of our Lenten season, we're approaching in John's Gospel the time right leading up to Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we see that the Greeks come and they want to see Jesus. So they ask Philip, who goes to Andrew. Somehow they are the liaisons between these Greek-speaking people who have come up to worship at the Passover feast. They're not Israelites, but they are perhaps people who have come to faith in the God of Israel. And at this very moment, when it is announced to Jesus that the Greeks want to see him, that the Gentiles want to come to him, he pronounces these words, "The hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour that he's been speaking about now for years. The hour that all of his signs and miracles that he has performed have been leading up to and pointing towards. The hour has now come." Why this moment? What is so significant and meaningful about what has just happened? It seems like a very ordinary thing. Probably every day somebody wanted to see Jesus. Perhaps it is because this is the fulfillment of yet again another prophecy. Prophecies from the Old Testament that speak about who the Messiah is, what he is to accomplish. One of those signs of who the Messiah is the conversion of the Gentiles, that all the nations will go up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple of the Lord. So perhaps this is that final tumbling of the keys to unlock the door. And Jesus acknowledges and recognizes that now the time has come. The arrival of the Gentiles who want to see him signals that his hour is here. This hour is the ultimate sign. These seven signs or miracles that John records for us that Jesus performs, these works of the Father that he shows, they're all culminating now in this hour, the hour when the Son of Man will be glorified, the hour of the glorification of Jesus. Okay, but what is this final sign? What is this ultimate glorification of Jesus? In church language, we use the term the Paschal mystery. This is what he is announcing is upon us. That is his passion, his death, and his resurrection from the dead. Jesus' suffering and death are what give the highest worship, are what give praise and glory to the Father. It's his death that glorifies the Father above any other work or sign that Jesus could perform. We know that Jesus is referring to this as his glorification because he immediately launches into this image of the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies so that it might grow and produce much fruit. And later he says that he will be lifted up from the earth. He's looking ahead, looking forward towards the cross. And by that action, he will draw all people to himself. This is the hour of his passion, the hour of his death. The wheels are set in motion. And what is Jesus' attitude towards it? Well, just like in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, like any human, when we face sufferings, there's the questioning of why this is happening and can we somehow avoid it. Here in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am troubled now." The news of his hour is troubling. Yet he says, "What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? It was for this purpose that I came. Father, glorify your name." His heart is disposed and ready to receive to receive his destiny here, to accept his suffering and death for the sake of the fulfillment of the Father's plan and to draw us to himself, to give us the hope of salvation. Though it is a troubling hour, though it is an hour of pain and suffering, he is resolute. It was for this very reason that he came, to give glory to the Father, and it is in this very act that he will perfectly render him glory and praise. We hear for the third and final time in the Gospels, the voice of the Father responds at this moment. First time the Father's voice is heard is at the baptism of Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, again, the voice of the Father proclaims, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And now the Father says about his beloved Son that he has glorified his name and he is about to glorify it once again. The Father sees, acknowledges, and accepts this offering of Jesus that he is about to give. Now, this image of the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies is a very simple image, right? We know that the grains of wheat themselves are seeds. So the choice is either that we can eat them or we can plant them. If we eat them, right, they benefit us for the short term. If we plant them, they can produce 30 to 60 or 100 fold of what that one seed was, and they can nourish into the future. This is what Jesus is saying, and by this image, he is not going to grasp onto something to preserve his life for the moment. Rather, he is willing to fall to the ground and die, to sacrifice himself for the sake of this future hope of salvation, the new life of the resurrection. This is what gives glory to the Father. Not just the death of his Son, who offers his life out of love, but the fruit of new life and resurrection that is born from it. Beautiful, perhaps less well-known text of John's Gospel, very fruitful for our meditation this week as we approach Holy Week, as we've entered into these last 2 weeks of Lent, Passiontide, and we restrain our senses, we increase our fasting all the more. Just a few final thoughts or takeaways from our Gospel reading today. First is Philip and Andrew. As I mentioned, they were the liaisons from the Greeks to Jesus. And all of us are meant to be liaisons, to bring people to Jesus. But when they bring these folks to Jesus, they don't receive what many of the other folks received, miracles or healings. They receive the proclamation of the cross, the saving message of what Jesus' purpose and what his hour amounts to. It might so happen to us that when we bring others to Jesus, it's not some very outward manifest display of God's power, but it's rather an invitation to the cross of Christ. Let's not shy away from bringing others to Jesus for that reason. The more that we have embraced the cross of Christ, carried it with Him in our lives, the more we will understand the saving power of the cross, and the less that will scare us from leading others to Him. The second thought is that we see Jesus totally prepared for His hour. His hour, again, is His suffering. It's not the victory celebration. It's not the unopposed landslide election. In fact, they choose Barabbas, the murderer, over Him. His hour is this self-sacrificial conflict with evil. And I believe that an hour comes for each of us in our lives. A decisive hour. Where we will make a decisive choice. For good or for evil. For God's word or for the word of men. For what is to stand up for what is right and true, or to give in and to compromise to the spirit of the world. Are you prepared for that hour? Or will you be caught unawares? Jesus has prepared His whole life to be able to say yes to the Father's plan at this very moment. Our hour, we too want to be ready by His grace to say yes to the Father's will. Thirdly, this grain of wheat that Jesus is talking about, one of the church fathers, St. Irenaeus, connected that with what we do here at the Mass, the Holy Eucharist. The grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, and so produces fruit. The grain of wheat here is crushed and baked, but it becomes for us the source of eternal life, the very body and blood of Jesus, transformed, which transforms us to be more and more like Him. So when we receive the Eucharist, like that grain of wheat, we too are being asked to die with Christ, so that we might one day rise. Jesus said, "Whoever eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks His blood, I will raise him up on the last day." Dying with Jesus, by giving ourselves over to Him in this Holy Eucharist, He plants the seed of eternal life in our hearts. The hour of Jesus is upon us. His time has come, as we celebrate it in the liturgy. Let us prepare to go up with Him to Jerusalem. Let us share with Him in His passion, partaking in His Holy Eucharist, sharing in His death. We ready ourselves to share more fully in the glory of His rising from the dead.